This podcast is paid for by Principle. No matter who you are or where you are in life, with the right financial partner, progress is possible. Hi, I'm Justin Warner. I'm a cook, a TV personality, and a cookbook author. While it might seem like I've made my life through food, it's actually understanding people that is at the heart of what I do. Understanding what people want to eat, that's pretty easy. What really drives me, though, is understanding what makes people tick. And not just what makes them tick, but how these gears that make them tick got aligned in that way in the first place. I'm kind of the last person you want to be stuck next to on a plane. I like talking to strangers. I like breaking that fundamental rule. I like hearing their stories. What happens when your own story takes a turn that you aren't expecting? What happens when something throws you off? Your course is lost. It forces you to recalibrate. What do you do? In this podcast series, I meet people who have had these defining moments that changed their lives beyond anything they could have predicted. People who have one moment around which the rest of their life revolves. In the coming weeks, we're going to hear from record-breaking athletes, international cinematographers, and even an everyday dude who dropped everything to chase a lifelong fantasy. But first, we'll start off with me. Because believe it or not, I know what it's like to have life throw you curveballs, and I'm terrible at sports. So my story starts, 5 years ago. I was working as a waiter, a lifer, really. I thought I was going to be a waiter forever. And an interesting thing happened. I was seeing a girl who happened to be an actress, and she got a strange casting call to be on a show where the premise was we would make a restaurant in 24 hours. This was for the Food Network. I'd never cooked before in my life, short of some short-order things at a bagel joint. We strangely applied to be on the show, and we went to a casting call and somehow made it onto the show. But now I was tasked with cooking for a restaurant that didn't exist, bringing all of this to fruition in 24 hours. Lo and behold, we won this competition, and we were each given $5,000 to start the restaurant of our dreams. Now, adjusting for inflation, this was just a few years ago, but $5,000 is roughly the cost of one doorknob in Brooklyn, where I currently live. So, I got a little bit of a big head from this. I went back to my job waiting tables and gloated to the other chefs about how I could build a restaurant in 24 hours. Look at me. I made pancakes in my restaurant, so it really didn't take a lot of effort, but I had a knack for flavor. And so I took my little pancake show on the road. I made a little portable griddle, and I would make pancakes for my friends. And sooner or later, I made pancakes at an art opening for a dude that I knew. And I made $500 slinging pancakes, and they sold like hotcakes. You guessed it. That was too easy. But then we all thought, well, I like making money. You like making money. Maybe we should make a restaurant. Well, if you've ever made a restaurant, you'll realize you can't make money making a restaurant, but that's why we're living, is to learn. And so we decided to make a restaurant. I decided that along with a culinary partner, we would head up the kitchen. This was maybe an idiotic move to some, but it eventually paid off. And our cuisine, if you want to call it that, was recognized by the New York Times. It was recognized by Michelin. To have my cuisine, as someone who had been cooking for 6 months, recognized by Michelin, my head could barely be contained. I don't even think there's a space large enough in New York to contain my head at that time. With all these write-ups, business was banging. We had a patio in the backyard. We were BYOB, so we had all of these wine people and sophisticates coming in. So because we were operating as a BYOB, people kept coming in and bringing their liquor, and we loved it. And they'd bring gallons of rosé. One guy even brought a keg strapped to his back with saran wrap that he took from his own restaurant. And one summer night, easily the busiest night, we got a kind of a forceful knock at the door, and it was the State Liquor Authority, the NYPD, the Department of Buildings, the Fire Department, and, you guessed it, the Health Department. You don't want to see one of those organizations at your restaurant, let alone all of them in tandem. And the last thing that really complements a dining experience is Kevlar and automatic weapons. It seems that we were operating a true community hotspot because New York City decided to surprise us with what they call a MARCH inspection, which stands for a multi-agency reaction to a community hotspot. I think they thought maybe we were running a front, but they didn't know what to expect. All they really uncovered was that we were operating an unlicensed bottle club. To be functioning as a BYOB restaurant, you have to have less than 17 seats, and we had about four times that. I was defeated. We had to close the restaurant. I had put my all into this. This was the first 6 months of opening, and I was living with my girlfriend in her room with all of her roommates and basically paying rent in cuddles and back rubs. I have nothing to my name. I have holes in my socks. I smell like grease. I'd been running a fryer for days, and I had absolutely no desire to shower. Just all of my dreams were now shuttered. So my girlfriend went to work, and I laid there in her bed, smelling like old fish and chips, and the phone rang. And it was kind of an anonymous number. When you lived a life like mine, full of debt and those wishing to collect them, you don't answer these weird phone numbers. But something about this one, I don't know, it was at least something to do other than cry. So I answered it. Strangely, it was the same people that had called me about the first television show I was on. It was the same casting directors. I thought, well, this is strange. And they wanted me to try out for a show called Food Network Star. I had nothing better going on. So I said, sure, what do you need from me? Well, they wanted me to do a culinary demonstration. Well, my restaurant was shut down. So I did what I thought I could do, which was bring a hard-boiled egg and tell them how to take the shell off. Now, for those of you listening, here's a clue. Remove the shell. Where you see shell, remove it. That's how you peel a hard-boiled egg. But I did a little bit more song and dance to impress them and talked about things like calaze and the structure within the egg and loose albumin and other chef-y, science-y words. I'm feeling a bit like Eminem in that movie, 1 Mile. I've got one shot with this egg in order to get where I need to go. I can't do it over. If I rip up the white or if the shell doesn't come off, I mean, I will have failed, and my ruse of the science of removing shells will be proven. Lo and behold, man, that eggshell fell off like a Bond girl's dress. I mean, it was the sexiest peeling of an egg that maybe there ever was. I mean, it's weird to think that by peeling an egg, you've hit a home run and knocked it out of a park, because it's a very humble action. But let me tell you, man, it was a knockout. It was like Rocky II, not Rocky I. I was thrilled. So were the producers, oddly enough. They called me back and said, do this again. And they told me I was going to Atlanta to have an audition. And the person in charge of this audition was Alton Brown, one of my idols growing up, easily one of the biggest brains in food, very close to godlike status for many. And I was petrified. I was nervous. And the producers asked me to look over one of his recipes, so I did. And then I go in the room with Alton Brown, and Alton makes some small talk, and then he says, we're going to make that recipe you saw earlier, which I had loosely studied. I'm not very much of a studier or an academic. And I said, okay, I'm going to make this recipe. It's bananas Foster. There's flambé in that. It's a lot of flames, a little dangerous, but I know how to deal with that. The problem is I have to teach Alton how to make his own dish, and my hands are tied. This is very difficult. And Alton told me, I'm looking for teachers. So here I am making bananas Foster with Alton Brown. And so I've executed pretty correctly up until the point of flambé. Now, in Alton's recipe, safety is generally first, but I come from 6 months of cooking experience and a ragtag lifestyle in a very small kitchen in Brooklyn. Let me tell you, when we flambe things, we don't use stick lighters. Stick lighters are these long lighters that you might use to ignite your barbecue grill from a safe distance. We just shake the pan and let the volatile alcohol explode. It's a little dangerous, but line cooks don't have arm hair. Alton Brown does, and the reason he has arm hair is because he uses a stick lighter. However, I did not instruct Mr. Brown to use the stick lighter, and I singed off all of his arm hair. I was mortified, but I managed to recover, and I told him, look, man, burns happen. This is a kitchen. And he said, if you can't stand the heat, and I said, get out. With that, he sent me on my way. I'll call you in 2 weeks. Well, I had to wait around in this place while everybody else auditioned and seemingly made it onto Mr. Brown's team. And they kept me there, and they kept me there, and I didn't know why, and I was getting nervous. I thought they were just going to berate me for burning the talent. I didn't know this set had insurance or not. And they called me back, and they said, Justin, we lost the last part of this. Can you just kind of fudge it and smile and nod, act, you know? And I was like, oh, cool, I get to act today. So I go in there, and I say, all right, Mr. Brown, we'll take it from where I singed off your arm hair. And he rubs his arm and says, yeah, we will. And I'm a little mortified still. Instead of saying, I'll give you a call in 2 weeks, Alton says, you made the team. Man, I am like jumping for joy. It was the most authentic reaction I think I've ever had because they pulled the rug out from under me. I've never tripped so joyously in my life. It felt like falling down steps of glee. It was uncontrollable.
I chose Mr. Warner because he's got some very original ideas about food. He might just have something original to teach us all.
I think, honestly, I think Justin won because he really knows who he is.
I'm looking forward to his kind of zany ideas and quirkiness. And I think that that's something that the network needs. So I think it's going to be a really good
addition. So from there, I skipped out of there and screamed to my mother on the phone in the cab ride back to the airport. I was going to be on Food Network Star, mentored by Alton Brown.
There's only more good to come. Congratulations, Justin.
Cheers. Thanks for
having me.
Welcome
to the family.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, I was not only mentored by him, but I was mentored by him to the finish line, to the finale. And America voted, and America chose Justin Warner, me, as the next Food Network star. Since then, I've made TV, I've made a book, I've cooked all over the place, and now I host a podcast. And all of this started from when my restaurant was shuttered and I had holes in my socks.
Next been Defining Moments, a tale of tutus, tragedy, and tenacity, as we take a dip in shark-infested waters.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
This podcast was created by The Guardian Labs US and paid for by Principal. Want to be a guest on Defining Moments? That's right, you could record a podcast with me and get $500 to give to the charity of your choice. To enter, please visit theguardian.com/definingmoment.